Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, as you all know, around half the marriages in the USA end in divorce, and some even say that traditional marriage is dead. But as our next guest will agree, marriage is never easy. But he counters that just because it's not easy doesn't mean it's not worthwhile. And our guest is Don Huntington, Ph.D. He's author of the new book, Put Your Whole Self In, 101 Instructions on Being Good for Yourself, Good for Others, and Good for Heaven's Sake. And I love that title. He's also an acclaimed motivational speaker. He's a blog writer and a ghost writer. In case you have a book you'd like to get written but don't know how to do it, he's your man. He's co-owner and editor-in-chief of two lifestyle magazines, and he's been married to the same gal for 48 years, so he's worth listening to on the subject of marriage. And hello, Dr. Don, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Oh, thanks, Roy. Glad to be here.
Well, on your website, you offer like 15 instructions for divorce-proofing your marriage. Perhaps you could give us a few of those that may be the most important things that we should do to divorce-proof our marriage if we've been married for a while and maybe not going real well at this point, or we want to make it better. Obviously, anyone can make their marriage better. So what are some of those instructions you would offer that might help?
Actually, I'm just putting an instruction every day, and I just put on number 16 this morning.
Oh, so I'm one behind then.
Yeah. They actually come out of the book that I wrote, How to Put Your Whole Self In, subtitled 101 Instructions on Being Good for Yourself, Good for Others, and Good for Heaven's Sake. And one of the things that's occurred to me as I did the book and as I've been thinking about these things and as I've been married for 48 years now,
yeah,
is that we really can be wonderful for our husband or wife by just becoming a good person.
Yeah.
If we really engage in life and we really try to make a difference in the lives of the people around us and try to make a positive influence on them, and we do that deliberately, we just include our partner, life partner is the main person that we're trying to do that with, and everything else just works out.
Yeah, I know your first instruction was keep all sunny inside, and that's so important because if you're not happy and if you're an old grouch, you're not going to be very pleasant to live with, obviously. But
one of the things that I tell people when I do my motivational speeches or my seminars is that the main thing that we do is the golden rule. We live by the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And for sure, I don't want my wife to be grouchy and pouty all day long. I don't want her hollering at me.
No.
So I'm not going to do those things to her. I mean, it's simple. Not always easy, but it's very simple.
That's true. Just like Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it's simple in concept, but not always easy to carry out, unfortunately.
Well, one of the reasons I tell people that they should, in fact, carry it out is because that's the way that they're going to ensure their own happiness. The fact is, as all of us know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
No.
So if you just devote yourself to keeping your wife or your husband just as happy as you can help him for her to be, then you take care of your own happiness. Then your own life is filled with a joy and a sense of peace that you aren't going to have if you don't take care of that primary relationship.
Yeah, there was one suggestion that really made sense to me, because I'm probably one of my biggest fault in our marriage, and that's listen up, be completely attentive when listening and respond to your spouse. I'm often accused of, letting it go in one ear and out the other and not really caring about what she has to say, and I know that's an easy thing to fall into, or you want to prove that you're right, so you get right back with your point and interrupt your spouse before he or she is even through saying what they're saying.
Well, listen, one of the things that seems perfectly clear to me is, and I think to all of us guys, is that when our wife says to us, honey, we really need to talk, the fact is we don't need to talk.
No, that's but when we don't want to talk, when they say that.
And what she really means is, I need to talk.
Yeah.
And so what we really need to do, even though it's uncomfortable and it's not the kind of thing that we really enjoy doing, we need to sit down and look her right in the eye and listen to what she's saying. Because what she's really saying when she says we need to talk is she wants to say there's something that you need to hear.
Yeah.
And so we really need to listen to it and then figure out what it is that she means and then try with all of our heart to make sure that we're meeting that need. It's awkward for us guys often,
true.
And it feels clumsy and we don't do it very good, but that really should be our major goal.
Especially when the wife says she wants to talk right in the middle of a good football game.
Well, when I talk to husbands and wives together, one of the things I tell the wives is that the golden rule works for you gals, too, and that means you let the guy watch his football game, without interrupting, or go off with the guys, hunting or fishing, because you know that he's not going to be happy unless you let him do that, and if he's not happy, then goodness sakes, you're not going to be happy either.
Yeah, that's for sure, and the old high school experiment, or maybe it was junior high, where the chemistry teacher poured some water in two connected tanks, and it always settled to the same level, and I always like to compare that with a marriage, that, one person's not going to be super happy, and the other person super unhappy for very long. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, the thing that we really need to eliminate from every relationship, we're not just talking about marriage, but relationship with everybody, is these uncomfortable conflicts and competitions that we get in with other people, where somebody has to be the winner and somebody has to be the loser.
Yeah,
and for sure in marriage, if the guy wants to go out with the guy and the woman wants him to stay home and have a nice dinner with her, it's a conflict. And somebody's going to be a winner, somebody's going to be a loser, but as long as you're running life at that level, nobody is really the winner, because if the guy stays home with a woman, she's not really a winner, because now she's got this grouchy guy short phrases. Or if he ends up winning and he goes out, he's not really a winner, because he's got to come home to this grouchy wife, who's going to not give him any that night and going to talk in clip sentences and probably going to give them a cold breakfast in the morning.
Yeah, that's exactly what you don't want, and what you don't get your way at all, like you're saying.
Nobody wins. But if they put the golden rule into effect, and if a woman says, how can I really make my guy happy? She knows that he's going to be happy if she lets him go, without any complaint or murmuring and laughs, and says, I'm sorry, I was planning this nice meal tonight, I'll just plan another night.
The perfect solution would be, let's do it tomorrow night. I know you have the plan with the guys tonight, but you share dinner with me tomorrow night and I'll cook what I was planning to, or something like that. Then they're both winners, really.
Well, or the guys say,
gosh,
I was going to go out with my guys, but I know if I do, you're going to be unhappy, so I'm going to stay home. And we're going to have a great time together, and I'll go out with a guy some other time. Here's the thing, Roy.
Yeah, it could be either way, obviously.
It doesn't matter which of those two solutions is chosen. Both of them win.
That's right, definitely. And I know one another tip that may seem unusual, but it makes so much sense to me, is rejoice in working. And you point out that if you don't enjoy your career and are all stressed out at work and are very unhappy there, that you're not likely to you're likely to take it out on your spouse, and you're not likely to have a good marriage. So it's so important that both husband and wife are happy in their careers or their outside activities, whatever they may be in, that you know, they each have lives of their own, that and then they share time together and support each other in their activities.
I think it comes down to something I talk about a lot in my book, How to Put Your Whole Self In, and that is everybody in the world, I think, is given, is put here for a purpose.
Yeah.
And the best thing that we can do is find out what that purpose is. Find out what it is that really that we would do for, gladly do for nothing.
Amen.
You know, if we weren't getting paid for, and just be really just search for that thing, find that goal in our lives, and then when we do that, when we become the this whole individual, knowing what our purpose is in the world and doing it, then we really do become good for other people, especially
yeah.
good for the person we're married to.
Yeah, that's very definitely true. Well, you and your wife, Ray, are only 2 years short of golden. What secrets do couples that celebrate 50 years together know that so many younger couples never figure out, especially those that divorce?
I really am a happy guy. You know, I tell people I married the first person that I ever held hands with, and 48 years later, we're still holding hands.
That's great.
And I think part of it is just keep holding hands.
Yeah.
You just hang in there with her or with him. You remember what it is that made you fall in love with that person.
Yeah.
And then you just keep focusing on those things. You know, the fact is, all of us, Roy, have areas of insecurities and places
yeah.
where when other people that we hide from other people, but they're really our places where we're kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And we can hide it from other people, but with an intimate friend, especially with a spouse, they're going to find out
yeah.
areas in our lives where we really just aren't, you know, really getting it together, and maybe we're even despicable. And it's at that point where we just accept it, just ignore it, and just keep connecting with each other on the basis of those things that brought us together in the first place.
Yeah, and I like that tip you have of find your partner beautiful. You concentrate on the underlying beauty. Obviously, none of us are probably as attractive now as we were, say, in our late 20s when we first fell in love with our partner. But there's that underlying beauty and that growing relationship you've had all these years. And if you concentrate on what you really love and find beautiful in your spouse, it can go a long way to keeping that close relationship together.
You know, Shakespeare said beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And so
yeah.
what we have to do as beholders is just to make sure that we regard our spouse as beautiful.
Yeah.
Find that inward beauty
yeah.
and the outward beauty. I think my wife, Ray, is as beautiful as when I married her. She's beautiful in a completely different way, but
still,
I just love to look at her, be with her.
Well, let's say that you're 52 and been married for 27 years. The problem is that you feel like you can't stand your spouse anymore. What should you do now? And what's the best way to try to address that problem?
Hey, I'll tell you one of my favorite stories, Roy.
Yeah.
Two guys ran into each other, and one of them says, "How you doing?" The other guy says, "The fact is, I really hate my wife. I just hate her. I can't stand being in the same room with her. I'm going to leave her. But my problem is, I know that when I rock out the door, she's just going to be as happy to see me go as I am to go. So I've got a plan." He says, "For a whole month, I'm going to treat that woman like a queen. I'm going to bring her flowers just for nothing. I'm going to wash her car on Friday evening. I'm going to take her dancing on Saturday evening. I'm going to bring her breakfast in bed on Sunday morning. I'm going to let her have the remote to the TV. I'm going to take out the garbage before it runs over. And I tell you, in a month when I leave, she's going to bawl her eyes out. It's going to feel good." Well, they didn't see each other for a few months, and then they ran into each other again, the two guys. And the one said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Good." He said, "Did you divorce your wife?" He said, "Are you kidding?" He said, "I never knew what a beautiful human being She was, and still, until I started treating her right. He says, I have fallen head over heels in love with her. I'm going home now to see her. I can't wait to get there. And then I tell people, when I give them that story, I says, I'll tell you what's the truth. That is a true story, even if it never happened. And that really that makes them laugh. But the fact is, I knew a man. He was a president of a Bible college who shared with me that he had been having trouble with his marriage. And they weren't getting along good, and they were having fights and arguments. And then one day he just decided he was going to devote his whole life to making his wife happy. He was going to do everything he could to just make her life a delight. And he says it changed everything. It changed my marriage. He said it changed my life.
Yeah, in my book I talk about doing an experiment when you make the spouse the center of your attention. Start with one day and go from there, and it can make a world of difference when you shift that focus from what do I want to what does my spouse really want today.
Yeah, because like I said, the fact is when you find that focus and you make her happy or make him happy, then you really are ensuring your own happiness.
Is that the way to stay married, even if you're convinced that you're with Mr. Right or Mr. Wrong or Mrs. Wrong? I know you mentioned that.
I read one time the test of real character is not to keep loving your wife or your spouse, but to keep loving them even when you find out who the person was that you really ought to have married. It's just a matter of commitment.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of integrity. You're going to do what you said you're going to do.
Yeah.
And it's not just a matter of duty. You're going to enjoy it. You know, you're old enough, Roy, you can remember when people used to say, what cannot be cured must be endured. But I changed that decades ago to what cannot be cured must be enjoyed.
Yeah,
you just embrace life. I went into the hospital last July, and I had a major part of my colon taken out, and I decided when I went in there I was going to just appreciate the experience.
Yeah.
I didn't even pray that God would heal me or anything like that. I just prayed I'd be a blessing to the nurses and to the doctors.
That's a great attitude to have. I bet they wish more patients had that attitude, the doctors.
Yeah, well, one of the nurses told me, she says, you know, we fight over you. So it was just great. I mean, that was just about, it was as good as a stay in the hospital could possibly be.
Yeah. Well, this is a tough one. What if you've had one or more extramarital affairs over the years, but they're all over for now? And say if your spouse doesn't know, although it's likely she probably would know, or he, because most of those things usually don't stay secret. Should you tell him or her now, or if your spouse does know, is it possible to win that trust back? I know it's tough, but is it possible to win somebody back after an affair?
Well, I think another way of asking the question is it possible to really forgive and to let go?
Yeah.
One of the big things that we have going on in our life, one of the big challenges is letting go of things.
Yeah,
and I got this technique that I've been using for years, and I write about it in my book, How to Put Yourself In. You hold your hands out in front of you, palms down, and you just let it go. You don't have your hands clasped so you can hold on to something. You don't. It's not palms up so you can hold something. It's palms open, palms down, and you just let it go. So when I have feelings of anger or discouragement or disappointment or rage, I just let it go. And I got to tell you, so much of life, Roy, is habitual. We do what we have been habitually doing. And if you get in the habit of just letting things go, I can't remember the last time I was discouraged. I can't remember the last time I was upset with anybody. I can't even remember the last time I went to bed and couldn't look back on the day and think I did anything that I didn't want to do or I was with anybody I didn't want to be with.
So that
it's just a wonderful way to live.
So
when you run into big problems like marital infidelity, you ask yourself the question, what if the shoe was on the other foot?
What
if I was the one being unfaithful, who had been unfaithful, what would I want from my spouse?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, by God, and I mean that literally, by the grace of heaven, you just do it. Forgive them and just let it go like it never happened.
That's a great way to put it. Well, why is it that celebrities have such a hard time staying married, and what can regular people like you and me learn from the celebrities' mistakes?
One of the problems celebrities have that I don't have is they have a lot of temptation, of course.
Yes, of course.
And one of the things I think that comes to celebrities that ruins them is their feeling that they really are kind of special.
Yeah, they get accolades thrown their way.
In a wrong way. Yeah, the world turns about them. They feel that the world owes it to them that the people in their lives just become, I don't know, not all of them. Of course, some of them have wonderful relations with other people, but too many of them, it seems like they get into the mindset that the world revolves around them, their place.
Yeah, exactly right.
So if they have this affection for somebody they're not married to, would be wrong, they don't care.
Yeah.
They're not going to deny themselves anything. They deserve it, right?
Yeah, that's what some of them get that kind of a mentality, I guess.
Listen, here's a solution that I came to that really has changed things for me a lot. You get into a position in life where you never, ever take anything at all from anybody. You just give. I tell people in my seminars, there are seven ways to really get along with the world and to be happy, and the seven words are give, 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 give.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the fact is, when you do that, when you live like that, the world really gives back to you. You know, Jesus and Buddha, they both said that.
Yeah,
you give out and then you get back. You give more than you... You always get back more than you give. It's just, it's a moral principle of the universe.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, a little bit of time we have left. Tell us a little about your book, How to Put Your Whole Self In. I know you cover a subject very near and dear to my heart, is how to stop getting in the way of your own happiness. Because like you, I was a member for years of the gloomy masses, as you call it. Briefly, tell us how you transformed your life. And leave us with an idea or two that will get us off that treadmill of discontent, which so many of us at middle age are suffering from.
Well, what the book is, 101 Instructions on Being Good for Yourself, Good for Others, and Good for Heaven's Sake, is they're daily readings. And
nice.
They're just pacing pages, so a person could read it in six or eight, each chapter in 6 to 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And it starts with a quote, and it ends with a couple of things that you could do to reinforce whatever the instruction was for that day. And I've had a number of people that tell me, gosh, Don, when I got the book, I know I'm supposed to read it once a day, but I couldn't stop. I read the whole thing all the way through, and now I'm reading it. Now I'm reading it through one day at a time. And I had an ex-cop tell me he reads it all the time. It's by his bed. He doesn't know how many times he's read it through. It just becomes a daily inspiration for him. The thing is, Roy, like I said before, we are what we habitually do.
Yeah,
we are what we habitually think about. So that I've written this book that gets people in the habit of thinking positively about the world around them. You know the parable of the white dog and the black dog, don't you?
No, I don't think I've heard that
Everybody has inside them a white dog and a black dog, and the two dogs are always fighting with each other. Which one wins, Roy?
The one you feed. Yeah,
so what I got here is a lot of white dog food that people have been telling me regularly. It really has changed. Some of them have said it's really changed my life.
Yeah. You know, I loved how in your book, I think, or maybe it was your website, you said we should basically banish the term if only. And I emphasize that in my book as well, because it's so easy to make an excuse and blame circumstances or someone else or something you did in the distant past. And if only I hadn't done that, or if only I were better with computers, or if only this or that. and it's a great excuse for doing nothing and being stuck in a miserable existence and not turning that page to find happiness. You know, it's like this old dog that was observed here in Iowa that was lying on a farmer's porch howling periodically, and the visitor asked the farmer why the dog was howling, and the farmer said, well, the old dog's lying on a tack, but he doesn't have the initiative or the energy to get up and move, so he just howls periodically. And that's so many people are like that. You know, they're not happy with their lives, and they complain continually, but they never get up and do anything about it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they just get up and do something every day. There's a principle that I've been trying to live by. You just get better every day.
Yeah, I love the fact that your book is, you know, so practical, so that you have one idea you concentrate on each day and think about that and do that, and slowly but surely your life transforms from the negative to the positive, and you start seeing all the positive things out there and benefit your spouse and people at work and everyone else you deal with.
It becomes a wonderful life.
How best can somebody find your book, preview it, or purchase it?
Amazon.com. You can read sample pages, or you can buy it new or used, or you can buy a computer, a Kindle version.
Yeah. And do you have a website that people can go to find out more about you and some of your blogs and some of the other information you have there?
Well, you can go to www.howtoputyourwholeselfin.com, and that's about the book.
Yeah, I think you read the first chapter. If you send in your email address, you then can access and hear the first chapter with you reading it.
Yes.
And I did that yesterday and enjoyed that. So I would highly recommend that you preview Don's book, How to Put Your Whole Self In, 101 Instructions on Being Self, Good for Others and Good for Heaven's Sake. And you can read that for 101 days, and then you can go back and read it again, because like Don says, the more you read something, the more it gets pounded into your brain, and the more it affects you and turns your outlook on life from negative to positive. And I would also recommend you preview my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up. You can visit our website at www.middleagerenewal.com to preview our book and obtain a free gift. And next week, we're going to continue on the subject of relationships and talk about relationships on your job. And thank you so much, Dr. Don, for joining us today. I think that you provided a lot of good thought on how to preserve and strengthen that marriage that you've been in for some time and make it all that much better and make it permanent.
Hey, Roy, it was great fun.
Thank you so much and have a great day.
Yep, thank you. You too. Bye.
Well, we all know the fantasy of courtship and marriage painted in most romance novels and Hollywood romantic comedies. Two people meet, bells ring, hearts sing, and sooner or later both the man and woman realize that their lover is the one person I was meant to spend the rest of my life with. The plot usually contains one or two premarital crises, misunderstandings, complications, breakups, a comedy of errors. But in the end, the two people unite in matrimony, the camera fades to black, the women in the audience and a few men get all teary-eyed, and we assume they live happily ever after. Well, in most movies, all disagreements and misunderstandings are resolved before matrimony, and those of us of middle age who have been around the block a few times knows this is not how it works in real life. 50%, as you know, of all marriages end in divorce, and perhaps you have been through one or two of these yourself, and maybe you remain with your original spouse, but the passion, sense of mutual sacrifice, and the genuine partnership for life is long gone. And we all know that marriages rarely, if ever, fall apart in one day. Even in cases of infidelity suddenly discovered, we can bet the relationship had been deteriorating for some time before the husband or wife or both of them cheated. And as today's guest put it, over time a combination of big red flags and seemingly innocuous little things combine to weaken the pillars of marriage so that it comes tumbling down in divorce or remains standing in a damaged state, which is unacceptable to either partner. And don't believe your kids are fooled if yours is a loveless marriage, because they aren't. Wouldn't it be great if you could discover some early warning signs that would tell you your marriage is in trouble soon enough so that the two of you could take some early corrective action before it's too late. Equally important would be positive signs of a strengthening relationship and steps the two of you could take to reignite love, passion, and a genuine sense of partnership. And today's guests have written a book to help you do both, diagnose causes and rebuild, and it's called Lost Loves, 365 Plus Ways That Couples Grow Apart Without Realizing It, and How to Reclaim Your Closeness. And my guests are the happily married couple Enrique and Sara Ruiz. And you may remember Rick, as he is known from our September 16th program. He's author of a book we discussed called Wisher Washer Wishy Washy that encourages you to become a person of action and not simply someone wishing for better days. And he's a former deputy program manager who once managed a nationwide force of 15,000 people. His better half, Sarah Ruiz, following a divorce with two young daughters, went back to school for an MBA and returned to the workforce and relocated to Maryland. And she met and fell in love with Rick, who had also gone through a divorce. And they are here to share lessons learned from their own first failed first marriages and to offer suggestions on how to rebuild or build a lasting love like the relationship they're in today. And hello, Rick and Sarah, and welcome.
It's a pleasure, Roy.
Hi.
Well, in your new book, you offer 401 ways to weaken love in your marriage, often without even knowing you're doing it. And lots are seemingly harmless actions that can add up to a big deal. And obviously, you can't discuss them all, but could you share a few of the most common basic early warning signs that your marriage may be in trouble?
Sure. For example, time management involves spouse avoidance. Compromise becomes as elusive as your sex life.
I like that one too.
Your partner acts so independently of you that you feel forgotten, like a relic of the past.
Huh.
Midday text or emails just to say hi seem absurd.
I like some of them that apply to me and my wife and I. We've been married for 42 years, but that doesn't mean we don't have our moments. You can't even play house without an argument. And I know we often get into arguments over division of labor in the house. And I like this one. Your most innocuous hobbies or interests start to infuriate your spouse. I know she says I spend too much time on this program, for instance. And then there was another one I think that, seems to apply a lot. You lie about inconsequential things to avoid dramatic scene. And I know I've in the past told little white lies about things that because I didn't want my wife to be disturbed or get after me on something. But I think
it never works out, does it?
No, it never does. But
one of the things that I found, Roy, is that certainly, as you pointed out at the beginning of the show, both me and my wife have been through divorce, and we've seen the slippery slope that one can get on.
Yeah.
There are many books out there in terms of how to avoid divorce or what you should do, but one of the things I found is that all of them certainly have words of wisdom and some guiding principles. But this book is really, it summarizes the pain and the thoughts that people have that they can't really articulate to their partner. And there isn't anything like it out there. We sometimes keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. And we're saying, partner, please listen to me. This is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But in reality, the emotions are so high that we can't really articulate what we really mean. And what this book does is it condenses those thoughts down into black and white to be able to say, this is something that I feel, this is something that I see you're doing, and allow us to be able to use this as a launching point to be able to say, oh, I didn't realize I was doing that. I didn't realize that you really felt that way. Let me see what we can do to make this better.
Yeah, it's great the way I know I previewed the book, and just there are so many of these aha moments that say, yes, this applies to me, or either my spouse is doing this or I'm doing this, and to recognize that, recognition is always the first step to cure or correction. And
So the other part of the book, you know, when Rick started this book before I came into the picture, I guess as a way to heal from his previous marriage.
Yeah.
But when I picked up the book, it seemed awfully dark. You know,
yeah.
There was a lot of examples of pain that he had gone through that we've all gone through if you've been in a bad relationship or a failed marriage. But the other half of this book, it has a much more positive perspective.
Yes, it does.
You need a light at the end of the tunnel, as well as the aha moments of all the things that you've done in your relationship that are off or wrong. And so that's kind of where I came in and how I helped with the book. You know, and I came in and I said, you know, this is what love is like when it's strong and healthy.
Yeah.
And these are the things that we can do to perhaps get back to where we want to be.
Could you perhaps give us a couple of examples of the good things of when love is strengthened? Because I was very impressed with that as well, and there's some very helpful hints there.
Well, I took note of a few of how to reignite, since you said that this radio show is middle age can be your best age.
Yeah.
So I picked up a couple that I thought hit home for us, considering that we're approaching middle age. Some of us will be there. number
but
one.
They're well into it.
Number 17 in the book is you don't expect your loved one to be everything, your everything at every minute of the day.
Yeah.
Expect that they should be yours, and that is absolutely a big deal, because the reality is that your needs, if your partner can't meet them, then you feel that they're infringing on your perspective.
Yeah.
And you have to accept where your partner is in order to be able to, you know, communicate in a healthy manner.
Yeah.
So if you can accept the fact that your partner can't be your every minute of every day, then there's a mutual understanding that's healthy.
Yeah.
So
you have actually three sections in the book. One is how love grows in a relationship, and then the other one is the one you mentioned, how to reignite love in a relationship. And I certainly found some very helpful suggestions. One of them that I like the best is you come together to make one life, but you find ways for each one of you to enjoy your independence. And I think that's so important to, you know, respect what your spouse likes to do and encourage that, and not to think that somehow he or she is denigrating you or downgrading you because they like to do things occasionally on their own and have their own interests.
Right. Actually, the stronger you are independently, the more you have to offer in the relationship, we have
Amen.
Found. And I think that it's a huge misconception that, you know, when you come into a relationship that you lose your independence and you're all about nothing but the relationship.
Yeah, that
and
can't be.
You lose that individuality, you lose out on the healthiness of the relationship. So it's very important to respect your partner's individuality and needs and wants and to have your own.
Yeah, and this is another one so crucial for people of middle age. You parent as a team, a unified front, because, you know, teenagers and even little kids love to play one parent off against the other one.
Yeah, well, we're living that right now, actually. We have a 13-year-old.
Oh, I see.
Throw it trying to play two ends against the middle, and she doesn't get very far because Rick and I are absolutely a united team.
Yeah, that's so crucial, because it's especially rough when there's been a divorce and you have parents that don't care for each other. But even in a marriage that's grown cold and where there isn't good communication, and another one that was so valuable that I think is communicate often about everything and stop interrupting and getting angry and talking over your spouse. That's, I know, a common problem with me. I tend to interject myself before my spouse is through making her point, and that's just not something I should ever do.
Right. That's a common one as well. Absolutely.
And I like your weekly date night as a number one priority for reigniting love, because so many times, you know, you become mom and dad and everything revolves around the family and the kids, and you forget about that strengthening your own relationship to have that one night out when you just concentrate on the two of you.
You know, I don't know whether Rick told you, but we have a new one in our household. He just turned 7 months. And
oh, wow.
We get my mother over here as often as possible so that we could, you know, enjoy each other's company, even if it's just 2 hours at a restaurant or going to see a movie.
Yeah.
Just to get away, to keep just to keep it alive between
yeah.
the two of us, because it does, it's very, very, very easy to get lost in the everyday cycle of children and responsibilities and schedules. And
especially when you have a seven-month-old like that.
Absolutely.
You
know, Roy,
13-year-old and a seven-month-old at home is quite a burden there, or a joy, too, obviously.
Right, and a 10-year-old.
Oh, wow.
Roy, you mentioned throughout the book that there were several ahas. One of the things that I have found is that, you know, common sense, we think that a lot of things that we hear and see, we may say to ourselves that's common sense, but common sense is not so common after all.
Yeah.
And the book is really written, I think, for everybody. And it makes us reflect on what we're doing and say, gosh, I really recognize that. I see that. That is an aha, but it isn't rocket science. It's
no.
just the little things, the little micro inequities in our relationship that we do to ourselves and to our partner that get us on a slippery slope.
Yeah, you know, common sense is much easier to recognize in others than in yourself, too, I've found. You know, when somebody, some other couple is doing something you consider foolish, you say how stupid, and they're not using common sense, and you may be doing the same thing yourself.
Right.
Another suggestion I love, but which I think is so important that so many established marriages and couples ignore, is to you tell them to dress up and groom yourself or your spouse, and it's so easy to, you know, around the home, just to take it easy, you know, not comb your hair like you should and do other things, and this applies to men as much as women, but it's so important that you look your best as much, as often as you can, especially when you go out with your spouse, so that, you know, that old relationship and that heartbeat that pounds when you're around the person comes back into play.
Right.
Well, how best can someone obtain your book, Lost Love?
Well, it's certainly available on Amazon, or you can go to loveislost.com, loveislost.com, and we have links there, and it's available via an app, it's available as an e-book, and certainly in paperback.
Well, you know, it's not a long book, it's only 92 pages, but it's packed with highly succinct advice, and it also, what I like about it, contains your turn exercises on how love is lost, how love is felt, and how you can reignite love so that, you know, anyone can read through it at one sitting and then sit down and start writing out how that applies specifically to your own marriage or your own relationship. And I think that's very useful, and you're really not getting the full benefit of the book unless you do that. And I also like those bits of ageless wisdom that you offer throughout the book, from philosophers all the way from across the centuries, from Proverbs to Frank Sinatra.
Awesome.
And I guess he offered a lot of advice in his songs.
Right.
Well, Rick and Sarah, congratulations on your wonderful marriage and your new seven-month-old edition, and best of success in the sale of your book, and thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, well, thank you for having us. It was a pleasure.
And once again, that book is Lost Love, and the website is www.loveislost.com. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Roy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.